If your idea of good travel includes friendly locals, affordable prices, a buzzing urban scene mixed with a deep historic core, topped off with fresh seafood and a refreshing sparkling wine at sunset, then Lisbon should be top of your list. Portugal's capital is a world-class city that feels both traditional and trendy, well-worn and well-dressed, where you'll be invigorated by the blend of old and new. And to give us a taste of what's going on in Lisbon lately, I'm joined by two wonderful Portuguese guides, Cláudia Costa and Rafael Piera. And they call Lisbon home, and they're with us right now in our studio. Cláudia and Rafael, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Obrigada.
Now, you know, I was just in Lisbon. We were there for the Feast of St. Anthony.
Yes.
And I think you told me the smell of Lisbon is grilled sardines.
For sure. Not only the grilled sardines, but you also have other delicacies, but sardines are the best.
Whole city is cooking sardines outdoors, and neighborhoods are together, and children are staying up late.
Exactly. And they are loud. Sorry about that. But, well, we have the celebrations in old June. Yeah. But St. Anthony's on the 13th of June.
But I think it's important to remember it's nice to feature food in a festival when the food is good, when it's in season.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
So, Rafael, how do you know when the sardines are in season?
You have to go to the fish market and talk to the people who sell the fish.
Yeah.
Normally, the sardine season overlaps with the late spring and summer.
Yeah. I heard it's the months that do not have R in the letter.
Exactly. Yes. The snails.
Yes.
Snails. But snails and sardines. So that would be May, June, July, and August.
Well,
those four.
That's one of those things that people say to memorize, but in truth, is not like that. There are variations to that.
It's too simple.
Yes, that's too simple.
Too simple.
In a fish market, I was doing a tour, and I was saying, yes, it's the months without an R, to one, a Portuguese lady that is selling fish. Yeah. And she was like, you don't know what you say, man.
Well, it is just nice to be in season. And that means eat the local specialties. And boy, Lisbon is just that way. Now, Cláudia, you told me that your family is from the north in a small town, but you're more of a city girl.
Yes, my family is very close to Coimbra. My sister and my grandmother, they still live there.
Uh-huh.
But my sister and I, in fact, we were born in Lisbon. And all my family came to Lisbon to work.
And you're a city girl, so you like the big city. Because Portugal has a wonderful small town kind of dimension. But there's something about Lisbon that I can see why people love it.
I love to be in the city. I'm a urban girl, as I used to say. When I start my walking tours, I start my walking tour from my front door.
Oh, good. So you're an urban girl.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Rafael, Lisbon is a great city for walking, I think.
It is a great city for walking if you are interested in getting into shape.
Because you got hills.
You have a lot of hills.
Well, let's put it this way. If you know where to take the lift, you can go downhill most of the time.
Exactly. You have to know the city.
Because I have a general approach to Lisbon, I think, as you know. I will take a tram or a trolley or something up to the castle, and that's where the city was born. And then I walk through my beloved Alfama district, the old sailors' quarters. And then I go to the Praça Comercial, which is the beginning of the post-earthquake city. Lisbon was destroyed by a tragic earthquake. What year was that?
1755.
1755.
All Saints Day.
Oh, my goodness.
11 o'clock.
And the city was devastated, and they had the dictator come in, and he rebuilt the city in a very strict and militaristic way. Grid plans, all the buildings the same. And that's the Baixa, and that's the lower town. And that's easy to walk through. And then at the top of the Baixa, you get to a funicular, and you take it up to the Barrio Alto, the high town, right?
Exactly. And there is a very good viewpoint up there as a reward to get to the top of the hill.
I love that.
There in Bairro Alto.
That's right.
It's facing east, so it's a very good place to watch sunrises.
So that's really fundamental for travelers, is to know the good viewpoints and enjoy them, but also to understand the three districts, the castle and the Alfama, the lower town, the Baixa, and the high town, the Barrio Alto.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I mean, if you're on a quick trip.
And, you know, there's an interesting way on how those three neighborhoods relate, because Alfama really shows you how the medieval city used to be.
Yeah.
Bairro Alto is the transition, because it was the neighborhood that began to be built during the Age of Explorations, and it was the first neighborhood in which they kind of thought about how are we going to develop a neighborhood to fit this growing, booming city. And then Baixa is an example of pure modern city. So if you understand those three neighborhoods, you get the medieval, you get the transition, and you get the modern.
If I can add, I also like the newer Lisbon that was born in 1998. So the Oriente nowadays called, or the Expo. Uh-huh. And I think it's also interesting because you can compare those three neighborhoods that Rafael was just talking about with the new Lisbon.
Thank you, because that is
century.
So important. I'm a typical tourist that goes to the old parts of town and think that's the norm. And you're defending the reality because most people work and eat and live in a more modern part of town.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you can see the new architecture, you can see the beautiful new bridge. New, 1998. And then the shopping mall, Vasco da Gama.
Yeah.
All the architecture is different and it's newer.
That's great. We're finding out what's new in Lisbon with Portuguese guides Claudia Costa and Rafael Pereira. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and you can email us anytime at radio@ricksteves.com. And Damon's on the phone from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Damon.
Bom dia.
What's your experience in Lisbon? What do you have a question or a comment about?
Yeah, well, my wife and I will be visiting Lisbon, and we have planned to ride the trolleys, I think, like the 24 and the 15, to get around, see some sights. But we've been, there are a lot of reports of one-hour wait times and overcrowded trolley cars. Are there, like, alternatives to the trolleys that still give us a wonderful view of the neighborhoods?
Rafael, what do you think about the trolleys? They used to be very romantic, now they're quite crowded.
That's true. Mostly the 28 tram is the best scenic route, and that's the one that is packed and you have 1 hour waiting time.
And then once you get onto the trolley, it's so crowded you can't look out the window.
So what I always say to people is that if you want to take the trolley, especially the 28, to go from point A to B, doesn't really make sense.
Right.
I think the trolley is a really nice experience, but just to kind of get lost in the city, experience the city, and for that you have to do it comfortably. So in my opinion, to do a trolley is not so much where you're going to, but sitting down on the trolley with the wind in your hair, with good company, and just watch the life of the city passing by as you are enjoying its sounds, its smells, its faces, and its monuments.
So true. And a lot of Americans have a romantic image about San Francisco and the trolleys in San Francisco. And Lisbon and San Francisco in so many ways should be sister cities. They've both got a beautiful suspension bridge. They've both got a lot of hills. And they've both got that charming trolley situation. But as Rafael was saying, 28 connects all the touristy things. And there's a ridiculous line. And if there's any delay in the trolleys, you'll get no trolley for half an hour, and then you get three trolleys right away. Everybody packs on, and they can't look out the windows. The pickpockets are in there with them because the pickpockets will be on the touristy trolleys. And there are other trolleys that are not going to the famous places that give that experience that Rafael is talking about. Claudia, which one would that be?
We're talking about what Rafael is mentioning is in one side of the hill, so the castle in Alfama. You have another one on the other side of the hill by Rio Alto. Maybe doesn't go to the places that maybe you would like to go. But again, to experience to being on a trolley, doesn't matter if it is the 28 or the 24.
I like the 24. I like the 24. It starts at the top of the Bica, I think.
Yeah, it's on the top.
Okay,
and
so
you can have the experience of being in a trolley without the crowds.
What about this? If you're a tourist and you want to go to the classic trolley, the old-fashioned rickety trolley, and you go before breakfast, just get an early start in the day and get up at the end where you're way over by that cemetery and by the
open.
Yeah, and then find a place to have breakfast there. And then you're sitting, you're enjoying the polished wood, the old-fashioned elegance of the trolley without all of that intensity. So these days, this is a very good point. Everybody's doing the same things at the same time. And what we got to do is, if you want to do the same thing, all right, but don't do it at the same time. Get up early and you'll have a great experience. Get up late, it's not even worth standing in line for that, I'll tell you. That's a very good question. Damon, does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so you'll want to go in the trolleys. Either go on one, the number 24 I really like as the alternative, or go early in the morning. Hey, Damon, have fun on your trip.
Obrigado.
De nada.
Bye-bye. Obrigado.
So we've been kind of enthusing about Lisbon. But like many very, very popular and trendy cities in Europe, Lisbon is having a little bit of over-tourism. What is the thinking among people in Lisbon about the tourist crowds. I get a sense that tourists may be driving local people away from the old center.
You know, yes, but we also have to understand that there are different kinds of tourists. So there are those tourists that don't respect the culture. There are those tourists that, well, I have just have a friend, a colleague that shared. There was a girl. She was on a bikini in Lisbon. So it's not a beach.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
So you have to understand how to respect people that are in the city.
So good. And that's good to know because I would assume our listeners are respecting the culture.
Of course.
And if they're going to be in the city, they're not going to dress like they're at a beach resort. But a lot of tourists, they're just going like to the cultural zoo. And they're taking photographs of the natives, you know, and they don't even talk to the natives. They don't know their language. They don't know their heritage. So it's so important these days, more important than ever, to recognize that, yes, there is over-tourism, but you can be a good traveler. You can be a visitor that is respected and appreciated.
That's exactly what I think. So in terms of the over-tourism, are you saying that, oh, the locals don't like tourists? Because sometimes you see people writing on the walls, we hate tourists. We hate certain tourists.
That's it. That's it. Our on-the-ground advice for visiting Lisbon comes to us from certified Portuguese tour guides Rafael Pereira and Claudia Costa. They offer walking tours of the city, and Rafael also specializes in tours of the Hieronymus Monastery. You'll find web links to our guests in the weekly show notes at ricksteves.com/radio. Hey, when we're thinking about going to Lisbon now, I think that we should know what do we need to make reservations for, because there are cases where you're crazy not to have a reservation and there are cases where a reservation doesn't even matter, even if a place is very popular. Where would you make a reservation, Claudia?
I would say immediately what comes in my mind, Hieronymus Monastery.
Hieronymus
Monastery.
Now that's out in Belém, one of the districts that we didn't talk about. But we should mention about a 20-minute taxi ride up the riverfront and you find yourself in the district where you have the former palace, the coach museum, the monument to the explorers or the discoverers, and of course this beautiful monastery with cloisters and a magnificent Manuelin church.
Exactly, but I have a lot of requests to go to the Hieronymus Monastery. They say, Claudia, how we should deal with the crowds? We have two options. Just see it from the outside. It's an option because it's wonderful, it's beautiful. Yeah. And you enjoy a custard while you're doing the visit outside. If you really, really want to go inside on the cloisters, please buy the ticket online. Don't buy it in the ticket office because it doesn't work very well.
Yep.
And then you have to be early birds.
Early bird. There you go. And Rafael, I believe you take tours to the Hieronymus Monastery.
Yes, I do the tours to the monastery, yes.
As a guide, you can you get the admissions for people? Is that part of the service?
Yes. So from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., there is a fast track for groups with tour guides.
With tour guides. So that's one of the rationales for hiring a guide. I'm not going to say hire you guys. I'm going to say hire a guide like you guys. And that guide can get you into that with the fast track. Mm-hmm. What about this? It seems very inefficient, but there's two lines. One is for the monastery and one is for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the monastery is great and I love the cloister, but the church does not need a ticket or doesn't need a reservation.
No, it doesn't need a ticket.
And you get in and it's full of history. It's full of great architecture. And the sacristy has some of the architectural magic of the cloister.
Yes. The church in itself is already a handful. You can come in contact with the late Gothic style of the Manueline. You can see the royal tombs. You can see the tombs of Vasco da Gama and Luís de Camões. So you can have a nice visit that is worth your travel to Belém without going to the cloister, although the cloister is also interesting and worth seeing.
Oh, yeah, I love it. But that's the one site in town where you will be frustrated without a ticket.
But if I can add it something to, if you would like just to visit the church, don't go there in the morning. Just go around lunchtime or
late in the day when they close it. Late in the day. I've been in so many places all around Europe where it's a mob scene in the middle of the day. And I go back at 6 o'clock and the place is open until 8 o'clock. Nobody's there. I don't know how late the church is open. But
yeah, but if you go like the last hour, you will find much less people.
Let me just add something which can be relevant. They do have concerts in the Hieronymus Monastery after the closing time.
In the cloister?
In the church.
Oh, in the church.
There's
okay.
a pipe organ there from 2009, a new pipe organ.
Wow.
And sometimes they have a concert program. So if you're lucky enough to be there in a day in which you have a concert and go in after closing time of the church, you have a sunset concert inside that Gothic church where that golden sunset light is coming in through the rose window, and you have that beautiful acoustics of the Geronimo's Monastery, and it's just a wow experience.
I love it. And then when you're done, you can probably get on the trolley number 15 and have it without the heat and the crowds of the midday and go back downtown.
Exactly, but that's like the unicorn of travel experiences.
But don't forget the custards. The custards are important.
Well, let's talk about that, because this, the custard, there's this pastiche de Belém, and there's the pastel de nata. Uh-huh. And for the tourist, it tastes the same, but for you, it's a little bit different, I think.
Yes.
One is made in Belém, and it's just people are crazy about it. And it's probably as many people go to Belém for the custards as for the monastery.
Yeah.
And the other, I just think you can find in a bakery anywhere in Lisbon. And if it's hot and right out of the oven, I think it's generally really good. If there's four of them sitting under a glass in a bar somewhere, it's not going to be a good pastry.
No, I like the experience to go to that bakery because it's the first one. So the original recipe is from the Geronimus Monastery, yeah. The monks of the Geronimus Monastery. So for us, it's like the first recipe. So they are the custards. Yeah. The others are the pastéis de nata. Theirs are the pastéis de Belém. Of course, you will have a lot of people, but you can always grab and eat in the beautiful gardens outside. But I think it's an experience.
I'm pretty sparing on how many sweets that I go crazy for. But pastiche de Belém, oh, it's nice.
It's perfect, yeah.
Hey, one thing I learned, thanks to one of my guides in Portugal, and it's a great thing, I learned how to ask for a shot of brandy in my coffee. So you can have your pastiche de Belém with coffee, or you can just go to any old little hole-in-the-wall cafe, and you can say, café com cheirinho.
Café com cheirinho.
Café com cheirinho. And,
yes.
And so I just remembered cheirinho, like two English words, you know. Coffee cheirinho. With cheirinho.
Café com cheirinho.
But the cool thing is the barista, the guy who runs the bar, he deals with so many clueless tourists that don't even know how to say hello in Portuguese. And he'll think that you're that. But then if you just casually, he comes over, do you want some coffee? And you go, café com cheirinho. You'll get a shot of brandy in your coffee for free.
Yes.
You need to say,
bom
dia.
Bom dia.
Um café com cheirinho, por favor.
Oh, there you go. Say that again. That was good.
Bom dia. Um café com cheirinho, por favor.
There you go. Bom dia. Good day. Um café com cheirinho, por favor.
Exactly. Bravo.
Now that's much more civilized than what I said.
And if you do that, you will make a friend.
Sure.
You will.
And you will, yeah.
Next time I'm in Lisbon, let's get together and have café com cheirinho, por favor.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Obrigado. Thanks
de nada,
for being here.
Thank
muito
you very obrigado. Much.
Muito obrigada.
Desse mar que vejo nos rios desse desejo. Quem nasceu para cantar um sambaze feito tejo de tão cantado que invejo Lisboa por lá morar.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Casmara Hall and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court upload the shows to our website. Sheila Gerzoff handles affiliate promotions. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Take a look at Rick's list for what to pack in your suitcase and share tips with fellow travelers. It's part of our online travel forum. It's at ricksteves.com. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.